Please open your Bibles with me, if you will, to the New Testament, to the letter to the Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10. You can find it in your pew Bibles on page 1067. And we'll read the verses 1 through 25 of Hebrews chapter 10. Hear God's holy and inspired word. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with the same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, 'Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God.'" Previously saying, "Sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law." Then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standing ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them." Then he adds, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Now, when there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest of the by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith, of our hope, without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So far, then, the reading of God's holy word. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, do you know something about Christian boldness? Christian boldness. And by Christian boldness, I mean that courage to go on in spite of all the opposition that you may face. So it is courage. It is also the ability to set aside or to disregard any setbacks, knowing that those setbacks are only temporary. Christian boldness has something to do with being brave, being able to stand up for what is the right and biblical cause. Christian boldness is something that you and I need to have, and such Christian boldness comes to us particularly through, as we will hear, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, I ask the question, and I ask that of the young people as well, do you know something of this Christian boldness? This Christian boldness. And it is not something that I have plucked out of the air, and let's speak about that, no. We read in the Scriptures time and again. In fact, I went to look over those words in my concordance, and no less than 34 times Christian boldness is mentioned in one way or the other. And I won't recite those particular verses, but they are there, and you can easily look them up. Christian boldness is something that is very much lacking in this day and age, also amongst church-going people, faithful church-going people. They tend to keep their faith, their religion, their confession in the Lord Jesus Christ. They tend to keep it to themselves, and they are shy to speak about it to those in the outside world. But Christian boldness is something that is very important. And again, as I said, it comes to us by way of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is really what I want to consider with you. But I also want to consider then with you particularly as how it is stated for us in God's holy word, our text. And so let us turn then to our text, Hebrews chapter 10, the verses 19 through 22, and see here how Christian boldness comes to the foreground. So Hebrews 10, 19 through 22. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now you will notice that these verses all are one sentence. And so I could not possibly split it up and just talk about one particular item in sense of boldness or in sense of drawing near, but we need to take it together. It is one sentence, and therefore I want to declare to you boldness by the blood of Jesus. In the first place, puts us on a new and living way. Secondly, it works in us a true and assured faith. And then thirdly, cleanses us inwardly and outwardly. Now, congregation, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has so many astonishing benefits for any who believe in Him. His blood is not only the ransom price, and that it is for sure. It is the ransom price that pays the debts that we have incurred upon our sin. And so the Lord Jesus Christ has come with His blood, and that blood is then the ransom price for those who believe in Him. But it is not only the ransom price, you see. It is also the ticket, if I may say it this way, it is the ticket to unlimited access to God. Just like getting a pass to an important event, for instance, a banquet of some celebrity, or free entry ticket, say, to a museum. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is also the entry ticket. It is the free entry ticket to the holiest, so we are told here. And that's not just for one time only, but it is for all times. It is unlimited access into the holiest. Now, what does it mean here when our text speaks of entering into the holiest? Well, the holiest, or the holy place, or the holiest, was all part of the tabernacle and later on part of the temple. And it was open only to the high priest, and that only once a year. To enter into the holiest, he had to make sacrifices, and then with blood in his hands, he would enter into the holiest, and he would then have access to God. And that particularly in prayer. In prayer. Now, the blood of the sacrifices in his hands was then the pass, or it was then the free ticket for a privilege to meet with and to speak with God. And you can read of that, for instance, in Hebrews chapter 9, the passage just before our chapter, where it says, but into the second part, the high priest, the second part is the holiest, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. Now, today, no, there is no tabernacle around, there is no temple around anymore, and it is not needed either, because we are not looking for a place that is made with hands, but we are looking for a place that is made without hands. In other words, it was made, it was designated by God Himself. And that holiest that we may enter into then is God, the presence of God, the throne room in heaven. He is the holiest one for you and for me, for us today. And access to Him is not limited, it is not restricted. And that's the beauty of it. The beauty of it. That's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. There is unrestricted, unlimited access to God. And it is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that has given us that free pass and ticket. You and I, we may now enter into His presence at any time, and we may be there as long as we desire or feel the need for it. And we don't need to be hesitant about it either. We may not question whether we really are allowed. No, we don't need to be questioning that at all. We will be accepted. And then we are told as well that we may go boldly to Him. Or, as you could also translate it that way, we can go with great confidence and have access with God. And again, it is the blood of Jesus Christ which warrants such boldness and such confidence. Now, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, consider carefully the value and the benefits and the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is as much relevance for us today as when He first shed that blood 2,000 years ago on Golgotha. It permits you and me great boldness to enter into the presence of God and be there as long as we need to be, as we want to be. I just want to go back to another passage in Hebrew for a moment, Hebrews chapter 4. And we heard that read or recited as well at the funeral a few days ago. Hebrews 4 and verse 16, where we are told, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, may this then be evident in you and me as well, who have learned to confess ourselves to be Christian. Spiritual boldness, not arrogant boldness. Spiritual confidence, not self-confidence, but boldness and confidence because of the blood of Jesus Christ. But then you may ask, well, how may this boldness and confidence be evident in me? Well, our text tells us that as well, by a new and living way. And what is that new and living way? Well, this refers, first of all, to the Lord Jesus Himself. He is, after all, the new and living way for us, you and me, even as he has stated it himself in John 14 and verse 6, that I am the way. So he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the new and living way. More specifically then, in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ, this new and living way is the way Jesus Christ lived while he was on earth. And how did he live while he was on earth? Well, he lived on earth and communicated with his Father at all times. He was always busy praying to his Father. Many night times were spent in prayer. While the disciples were sleeping, while the people were at home, the Lord Jesus Christ would go up into the mountains and he would spend his nights praying, communicating with his Father. And so we have, therefore, the Lord Jesus as our great example of what it means when we speak of the new and living way. And so for us, the new and living way then is being in communication with God the Father, being in prayer with him particularly. It is new because before the blood of Jesus set us free from the slavery of sin, we did not communicate, did we? We did not communicate with God. Our communication, if there was any of it, or we thought it was really nil. It had no effect at all, because we basically just communicated with ourselves. Before the blood of Jesus set us free from the slavery of sin, our way was old, and it was in the direction of death at all times. We had no communication with God other than rebellion. And our prayers, if there were any prayers, were nothing but what I want to call self-adulation. But the new and living way is the way of regular communication with God in heaven and with bold prayers to God. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, gives us that free pass, that free ticket to enter boldly into the presence of God through this new and living way of communication and of prayer. Our text underlines this free pass through a new and living way by telling us that Jesus Christ has consecrated it for us through the veil that is his flesh. In other words, Jesus Christ has gone ahead of us. He has gone ahead of us. And in his flesh, he is now in the presence of God his Father, and we may therefore follow him freely and boldly and with the free pass of his blood, as it were, in our pleading hands. Now, what is our text trying to tell us, dear people? It is this, that you and I need to be bold by this new and living way through Jesus. We must be much in bold communication with God the Father. We must speak to him about various things that are on your mind and burden your heart. You may speak to him about your personal trials, that you're facing difficulties at this moment. As long as you've been a Christian, you will experience that, yes, there are those oppositions that you have to face time and time again. You need to boldly communicate to God your longings, your desires as well. You may let him know that there are times you become weary of living, that you become tired of running the Christian race. You may go to him boldly and say, Lord God, I'm still mourning the loss of a loved one. Please continue to be with me. Let's be bold also about that, dear brothers and sisters. We may come to him telling him that those temptations are at times so strong, it is hard to resist them, and they jump out at you, and that in the course of everyday life. Pray, therefore, for such boldness as well, and have the Lord God give that boldness to you in your prayer and your communication. But communicating to him also the joys that you may have, the joys, for instance, of reading his word and of worshiping Him. I trust that it is a joy for you to have come to church this morning. Now, you may have expected your own pastor, and certainly that would bring great joy to you. But here I am, and I hope that you are joyful enough to at least listen to the preaching of the gospel as well as I am called to do so. And so, please communicate all these thoughts boldly to the Lord God. Also, your aspirations. Speak to Him as a friend would speak to a friend. Let there therefore be much prayer, prayer for yourselves, and also prayer for others. Pray therefore that He will lead you more and more into His Word and into the ways of His law. Pray that He would continue to forgive you and to cleanse you and to raise in you a spirit of desires after the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray that He would make you more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ, that His Spirit would dwell in you richly and mightily and give you a strong and a living conscience. You see, that is a bit of a description then of this new and living way as you may boldly enter into His presence. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will put you into such boldness, into such new and a living way. Therefore, walk in it. Walk in it boldly. It should be part of your and my Christian life. And then, live boldly as well. And speak boldly as to what the Christian life is all about. Don't be shy to speak about what it means to serve a living Savior. We sing about it. Well, speak about it as well. When the disciples were called to confess their attachment to the Lord Jesus Christ, even with the threat of imprisonment or death hanging over their heads, we read, for instance, in Acts chapter 4, verse 29, how they boldly prayed, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servant that with all boldness they may speak your word." And the result was phenomenal. As you can read, for instance, a few verses on, verse 31. "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God." How? With boldness. With boldness. So, biblical boldness given to us by the blood of the Lord Jesus will show up as we conduct ourselves in a new and living way. But now, secondly, boldness by the blood of Jesus works in us a true and assured faith. Let's go on what we read here in our text. "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." Now, to have a true heart means to have a heart that is sincere at all times, not hypocritical at any time. Drawing near, therefore, with a full assurance of faith simply means to draw near with a bold faith. Let's look at this a little bit more closely. We must draw near with a true heart, a heart that is sincere. We must be careful, therefore, not to fake our religion or to make a show to people for people to see us. You know the story of this infamous Pharisee on the street corner, and he stood there for all to see, and he was busy practicing nothing but fake religion. Remember his prayer? "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess." His heart was not sincere towards God. His heart was hypocritical, you see. And he boasted of how good he thought of himself. He did not draw near at all with a true heart. This was downright arrogant boldness. And we must not go in that direction at all. In his daily routine, oh yes, he was very particular as to who he would speak to and as to who he would greet. No, he would not greet everyone. but only those who practice the religion in the same way as he did. But all of this, again, was a religion of show. And that's all it was. Nothing but show. And therefore, dear people, let us be careful about that sort of religion. That we do not take the path of this Pharisee and pretend that we are just a little bit better than other Christians, perhaps even other Christians in our congregation. Yes, we must be confident by the blood of Jesus Christ. But let us not become self-confident, because that would be nothing else but arrogant boldness. The Apostle Paul, he gives us some good directions in how we should conduct ourselves. He speaks of that in Philippians 2 and verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than self. Now that's what we call positive, bold Christian living. So let us then draw near to God with a true heart, with a heart that is sincere, sincere in humility, sincere also in our love for the brothers and sisters who are perhaps still uncertain of their Christian faith, who are perhaps still questioning, am I really a Christian? Go to them and speak to them positively. Then, of course, we are also told that we must draw near to God in full assurance of faith, as our text tells us. And this means, as I indicated already, to draw near with an assured faith. Now, as you know, from experience, our problem often is that we are weak in the faith, aren't we? Weak in the faith. Often lack much assurance, if any assurance. And this is really nothing new for believers, to be sure, because negative circumstances often attack our faith. Assurance of faith will often slip away from us when we find ourselves, for instance, in a state of long-term illness. Or, yes, Satan can also attack us when we experience the loss of a loved one. Or Satan can attack us in some other way through setbacks, and then we lose that assurance. Assurance of faith will then become a concern and should be a concern for us. And then we begin to question the wisdom of God and we ask, why? Why did God allow this to happen? Why this long sickness? Why the passing away of a dear wife or mother or grandmother? But it is better, dear people, not to ask why, but as someone has stated so clearly, don't ask why, but ask where to, God, where to? Where do you want me to lead you? Lead me. Our faith is often weak and it buckles under various attacks. And the Lord's disciples, they have experienced it so that the Lord would have to say on several occasions, where is your faith? And then we have to go back to the Lord Jesus Christ himself and cry out, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. But as you know, our help against unbelief and lack of assurance is to be found with the Lord Jesus Christ and in his word. Therefore, very practical, but listen carefully, you who struggle with bouts of unbelief and occasions of lack of assurance, as a confessed believer, you have a double duty, so to speak, to go to the source of biblical boldness in approaching God, first, because you have this boldness through the shed blood of Jesus, as we have heard already, because Jesus is the great high priest in the house of God. Therefore, as you desire to live this Christian life with biblical boldness, practice drawing near to God with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Let the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ therefore work that sincerity of heart in you, that assuredness of faith in you as well. But now, there's more that the blood of Jesus will do for us, as we must consider this in the third place, that boldness by the blood of Jesus cleanses us inwardly and outwardly. And our text says it this way, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we still carry with us much baggage, don't we? Sin-filled baggage. Baggage that we should have put away long ago, but somehow we continue to cling to it. Sinful baggage. Two chapters later on in Hebrews, the believer is compared to one running a race. You will remember that. And then is told to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And it's not only holding us down or holding us back, but ensnares us. Well, what is that baggage? What is that weight, you might ask. Well, our text speaks of an evil conscience, better translated as a guilty conscience. You see, you and I, we often walk around, or I speak of myself, but I trust that is also the case of many of us here, that we often walk around with a guilty conscience. Of course, that is due to a particular sin that we have committed, either in thought or in word or in deed. But it garners for us, it kind of grows in us a guilty conscience. Well, let that baggage of sin, let that be left with the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess it to Him, yes, definitely, and then leave it with Him to sprinkle it and to wash it with His blood. The Old Testament ritual of sprinkling and the New Testament ritual of baptism with pure water points therefore to the power of the blood of Jesus, and it encourages us first inward and then also outward cleansing by it. As we are told, for instance, in 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, He, that is God, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it is the blood of Jesus, you see, who cleanses us from all unrighteousness, inward unrighteousness and also outward unrighteousness. And when the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness, it will in turn make us bold witnesses of Jesus Christ and of His cleansing blood. Well then, this has been something about the power of the blood of Jesus. Young people, could you understand it? That it is so necessary to know what the blood of Jesus Christ can do. It does, and I'm just repeating it in simple words, it gives us a free pass to go boldly to God by this new and living, this Christian way. It works in us a sincere heart. It works in us an assuring faith. It cleanses us inwardly. It cleanses us outwardly from all sin, which opens the way then to be a bold witness for Jesus Christ. And I trust we want to be bold witnesses of Jesus Christ. Therefore, as we are called to live the Christian life, dear people, we are called to live it boldly. Notice that our text has these two little words, and don't skip over them too quickly. Let us. And these, dear people, are two highly stimulating words here in the book of Hebrews. Let us. And the author of this book has used that word several times. Let us here, in our case, let us have boldness by the blood of Jesus. Let the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which He has shed on the cross of Golgotha, let that stir us into great boldness in our prayers, to great boldness in your and my faith, to great boldness also in how we are to witness to others. And such biblical boldness is purchased for us then by the blood of Jesus. And such biblical boldness becomes ours as the Holy Spirit applies that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to our hearts and to our lives. And such biblical boldness in turn brings honor to God because, yes, and that's why it's written so often in the New Testament, God loves biblical boldness. He loves biblical boldness. This is why the New Testament especially speaks so often, you see, about being bold, about conducting ourselves with boldness, and about coming to Him with boldness. And our need for such boldness is perfectly answered by the precious blood of Jesus. Now, some of you may be unfamiliar with this boldness that you have heard about this hour. Praying boldly is perhaps not your thing. Believing boldly has not really been your experience. And witnessing boldly, well, you find that rather risky. But dear people, this is what our text calls for from you and from me. And you may pray for such boldness because it honors the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. And you know what? Biblical boldness is actually very contagious. You know what contagious is? Well, biblical boldness is actually very contagious. When the Apostle Paul, for instance, I want to give you an example and then I'm finished. When the Apostle Paul was in prison for being bold for Christ, it actually emboldened other Christians to carry on witnessing because the Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians 1 and verse 14, most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident or become bold by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. There you have it. Well, may such biblical boldness also be evident amongst us, young and old. Bold prayers, bold faith, bold witnessing, and all of it thanks to the precious blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise to Him. Amen. Let us close in prayer of thanksgiving. O Lord our God, we come boldly to Your throne of grace, also at the end of this worship service, to thank and to praise You, that it is a quality that You want to instill upon every believer, that is Christian boldness, and we pray for such boldness. But Lord Jesus, we thank You, and we thank You so much, and from the bottom of our heart, that You have shed Your blood on Calvary's cross in order that we may have such boldness. And we thank You that You have gone the way of suffering so that we may look forward to eternal life with You. Grant to each one of us, therefore, that which You have called for, that is, repent of our sin, and to believe on You. Teach us so to do. And bless each one of us, young and old, that we may put to practice prayerfully what we have heard by way of this message this hour. Dismiss us in Your favor. Grant us a restful afternoon and bring us back this afternoon as well, that we may hear again what You are pleased to convey to us by way of the gospel. Forgive us any sins that have been committed, either in word, in thought, or in deed. And Lord Jesus, be our Savior. In Your precious name, we ask and thank. Amen.